Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. He said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. In other words, before Jeremiah became put on flesh and blood, God says, I knew you. He said, while you were in your mother's womb, I sanctified you, meaning I set you apart. There is none of you in this room, none of us in this room that have the same fingerprint. We are set apart. He says, he not only set him apart, he says, but I ordained you. In other words, I predestined you. That word ordain, I ordained you, I predestined you, I set you apart, but I ordained you to fulfill a purpose, to fulfill a mission on my behalf while you are in the flesh, in your generation. And in verse 10, it says, I put my words in your mouth that you might establish the destinies of nations. You pull up, you tear down, you destroy, and you plant and you build by my word. So that's Jeremiah. But the word of God has no respect of persons. Peter says, I perceive that the Lord has no respect of persons. But everywhere where men seek him, they will find his purpose for their life. Paul says, all things work together for good for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose, God's purpose, for whom God foreknew, he also did predestinate, ordain to be conformed to the image of his son. I have an announcement for you. You were born with a purpose. You were born to fulfill a mission. You were born as an arrow, a quiver, and an arrow in God's hands that God wants to shoot to meet a target. You are not an ordinary person. You were destined by God to fulfill an assignment for him in your generation. And God has set times and seasons for everything under heaven. But God is also a God of wisdom. He wanted to accomplish something in the days of Elisha. There was famine in the land, and he spoke to Elisha and said, by this time tomorrow, there will be plenty of food. There were mighty people in Israel. There were great people in Israel. There were all kinds of people. But no one stepped towards the direction of the wind. God found four feeble lepers who were sensitive to the wind and the unction of that moment. They tapped into the wind of the Spirit of the Lord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, it does not require human strength. Whether you are weak or feeble, if you're able to rest on that wind, God will use you as somebody in the flesh because it's a spirit to accomplish great things. So it didn't matter. All that God was doing was blowing this direction towards the enemy's camp to shatter the enemy. But he wanted human flesh as a witness, as a testimony. And four lepers found themselves in that direction. And before they got there, God used them to fulfill something that is written in the Bible today that fed the whole nation of Israel and brought them out of where they were eating their own children in famine. The Lord spoke to Elijah in a very dry time in the life of Israel. There was drought, and people were Ahab at this point was rending his garment because they didn't know what to do. And God spoke to Elijah to go show himself to Ahab. And God says, I will send rain. And Elijah went, believing God that that's the season, because he's heard the Lord say they will send rain. Elijah went and cried out to the Lord and waited on that man Carmel until rain, signs of rain came, and there was rain in Israel and revived the people. The book of Joel says, as God's, you know, when there was such a devastation of the nation of Israel, there was their crops were withered, their lives were withered, and everything, the enemy has devoured them. Joel called for a fast and a time of consecration, which is the principle that God has always given to every generation. He said to Solomon, when I withhold rain, and when the locust is devouring the people, he says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face, he says, I will forgive. I will hear from heaven, I will forgive, and I will heal. I will send healing. God's principles have never changed. God's ways have never changed. And in every generation, God is looking for men and women, one who are sensitive to his season and who are willing to sacrifice, to do the things that he requires so that they will usher in that which God has promised them in their personal life and in their corporate life. Amen? These days that we're going to be praying, there are things that for weeks after this New Year, I could not, it was almost shut up inside of me. I could not get it out of my system. I don't know how to define or explain it or express it. I've never had that kind of visitation in my life. But God has allowed through these weeks and weeks of waiting and to define this moment for us. And I believe by the grace of God, God will allow some of these things to be said. God is a God who likes to, he is a jealous God, and he cannot share his glory with flesh and blood. So God, whenever he wants to do something, he always looks for a way that men will not take his glory. So there was a very difficult moment in the life of Israel. If you remember all these different areas I'm sharing with you, it has to do with when God's people have entered into a state of spiritual and physical and soulish coma, and there was no hope. Every example I've given. But also in this example was in the days of Gideon. The enemy has devoured them and impoverished them. They were so malnourished, and the enemy surrounded them and still taking from them. And God called Gideon to raise an army and to go forth and do a specific battle at a strategic season. Gideon sounded the trumpet, and the children of Israel answered. But God is a God who requires heart, not just lips. It requires brokenness. It requires consecration. God requires a broken and a contrite. It requires people whose heart are into it with their life. So sometimes God will leave a line for people to cross. And he was able to narrow 32,000 armies to 300 people to do what he wanted to do. God reduced over 500 people that heard Jesus from his restoration, letting them know this is the season to wait for what God has promised them. But it narrowed down to 120. All through history, many times in history, especially the different times God has moved, you will never hear when he used the thousands of people. It's always a remnant. From the days of Wesley, an individual person, from the days of Martin Luther, to the days of the Anabaptists, to the days of every church you name today, from Lutheran to Wesleyan to name all the memorials of church today, they were started by a remnant of people. From Azusa Street to Wales, it was a remnant of people. Because God always requires something that many people are not willing to offer. as a sacrifice. Amen. So I celebrate with you that you're sensitive to this moment. The Lord put in my heart a way to see those who will honor this moment. And you're here. There are many things that will be said this weeks, but let me just say a few things for those of you that made it to this day. These 21 days, will be a history maker for your life. You were born and destined to be here. You were very, very privileged for the mercy of God to honor you. What will happen this season? I'm not talking about just here. We're just tapping into something that is universal. For those, the month we're entering in is not for Mount Zion alone. It's not for a church. It's for the body of Christ. And for those who are willing to be sensitive to it. You know, if you are able to enter into God's season, people with leprosy can be made millionaires overnight. They can carry treasures. The kings and everybody start looking to them who were lepers. One day, the next day, kings were responding to their treasure. You can usher in the rain that is drying. God can use you to bring in things so that him alone will get the glory. And people will say, how did it happen? And nobody will be able to say, I was qualified for it. It was God's mercy. Paul says, I am what I am. So the mercy of the Lord has given us the privilege to be here. Wherever people are sensitive to God in any part of this city or the nation that are able to consecrate this first month, this special month of God's timing, they will not miss a visitation. Wherever they are. Let me say it again. What is going to happen in this season? You will never dream if you were told it will happen. There are a few times in my life God has been very specific. There are other times my mind has assumed. When I put 1 + 1, I just assume it's him, and I've gone foolishly and paid a very great price for it. And I've learned after so many pains to suffer what it takes to wait until things are clear a little bit. To the point until it's clear and clear and clear until even I'm almost provoking God to anger. But God, knowing we are frailty, our humanity, he knows how to meet us in a very clear way. Let me tell you why I said this will never be the same. A few times in the past, the Lord will show me something. I wouldn't know what he's going to do. Some I will know, I'll keep it to myself, and the Lord will do some things, and some of them specifically, I receive blessings from him. Some is about preparing the church, the city, and stuff. The prayers we pray are not only about here. It's about the nation. Many times we have called for prayer, fasting and prayer. Every time we finish those fasting and prayer, whether it's Tabernacles or Passover, one way or the other, God has opened doors for those prayers to connect to the needs of America. Every door that has opened, whether it be governmental places or financial realms or the body of Christ, every one of these doors was a result of the prayers that we've consecrated in this place. Doors don't just open. you know, it takes prayer. But for so many years, this is the 21 years now I've been in America, and I know the visitation that I received that called me to pray. And we've been through so many joinings in this house, like I've shared in the church. We've been through so many prayer meetings, so many building blocks, so many building blocks, so many pillars, so many everything. We've been through a lot. And prayer has taken us from this city to this region, then to the nation. But what we are about to do this week is a tipping point for every one of us. It's one of those, you've reached a place where all you need to do is just add a little bit of prayer and it shifts everything. It's the overflowing time. What window we are entering, we prayed in so many Feast of Tabernacles, things have happened, Passover, things have happened, different things. But what prayer we're about to pray, let me tell you about this ahead of time. I don't know. I don't know everything, but the little that I know, I just want to introduce this and we'll see what the Lord does through the week. There are prayers that begin a process. There are prayers that it might be you're breaking fallow grounds or you're removing things in the heavenlies. There are prayers you're just building your memorial before God. There are prayers like the widow woman, you're knocking, you're just praying, or the friend at midnight, you're knocking on the door. But there is how prayer can carry you from years and years, the prayer that plants the seed, the prayers that grows the vine, the prayers that keep growing and growing. But there's a prayer when the harvest is ripe, and there's a prayer that plucks the harvest. This season, the prayer we're about to pray, and this season we're entering, is not one of those seasons where we pray and myself, I'm able to see some of the results when we finish. But sometimes the people in this house, they might not see it, you know, maybe in their life or see it around here. But this time, the prayers we're going to pray, and this time of waiting, we're going to see at some point, we will begin to see the effect of the prayer in the natural realm. You will not say, we just finished this week. I don't know what God has done. This time you will see some results manifested. And it will be the beginning of seeing things manifested from this point on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So to set the stage, to lay the foundation for these 21 days, I forgot to, it was when we were praying here tonight that it came to me. I forgot to see if we have communion here. Do we have the communion here? Okay, but we might check and see. If we don't, we'll just take it tomorrow. But we're going to lay the foundation today through a scriptures. One scripture that we're going to pray on, and I will explain. My brothers and sisters, Pharaoh had the children of Israel in bondage for many years. No matter what they did, they were still locked up in Egypt. They might prosper, but they're in Egypt. Whatever, they were just surrounded by their enemies. But one season came, and that's the season where Passover, this first month, that you don't pass it yet. Just, do you have enough? Okay, don't just bring it. Thank you. There's one season where a voice came from the wilderness, and it was a vessel that God has been preparing, and it was Moses. And it was not his voice, it was what God told him to say. And it was to Pharaoh. It is time to let my people go. Pharaoh had no choice because this was God's time. And God did many things to make it clear that he was the one speaking. Amen? And he brought the children of Israel out, blessed them, prospered them, and called them to be who they've been called to be. My sisters and my brothers, this is your season personally, my season personally. I don't care how many seasons we've gone through, but you will see the difference this time. That heaven is speaking to every spirit, no matter what their names are, that is holding you in some areas or some form or shape, bound, hindered from being who you're called to be. Walk in what God has programmed you to be. Walk in the liberty, in the freedom, in the inheritance, the provision God has for you, the destiny. Or your children, or your family, whatever your, you know, Pharaoh had their horses, their cattle, their donkeys, their children, he won't let any of them go. This is the season you will know what Jubilee looks like. You begin to taste it a little bit. Amen? It means God is going to not only bring deliverance to you and your family and your inheritance and your provision, but God is going to begin to reveal himself to you in his glory. Amen? Amen. So we've been talking about Jubilee, and some of us have not been experiencing what it is, but you are going to taste a little bit of it by the time we finish with these 21 days. A season of Jubilee is your harvest, it's your breakthrough, it's a time that you will celebrate that God is good. Amen? God loves you, God loves me, God loves us, and he has been patient and long-suffering to watch the enemy do what he's done so far. Not because of him, but because of our own sins and the way the church has backslidden. But now he's saying, these are my people. Because I've made a covenant, I will bring them out for my righteousness' sake. Amen. And give them what I have promised them. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we're going to lay a foundation. Let's open to Hosea, the book of Hosea. Chapter 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.